Chapter 4. Nearly 8 months before their disastrous mission, Charlie and his pilot friend put another of their employer's toys through its paces. The ground shook slightly, a low rumble jostling the cup of coffee resting on the small folding table at Charlie's side. Another series of ripples spread across the surface, like a small pond in a storm. Then another. "You okay up there?" he asked over his comms headset, as he scanned the readouts whizzing by on his data terminal.
"Why wouldn't I be okay?"
Rika asked from the pilot's seat of the towering mech.
"You making a crack about my driving?"
Charlie wasn't, and even if he were, he knew better than to mouth off to the particularly strong-willed woman while she was operating a nearly three-story-tall survey and maintenance mech as she ran it through its paces.
"Of course not. You're a great pilot."
Rika smiled, amused.
"Could save Charlie," she said,
then continued walking the giant machine down the testing path.
"Hey, take a look at the left knee servos, would you? I'm feeling a little bit of stiffness in the joint."
Charlie began typing in a series of diagnostics commands, pulling up detailed schematics of the machine. Calling it a giant robot would be a misnomer, since it was technically a human operating it. Nevertheless, it was a bipedal work of wonder, and arguably the most technologically advanced and costliest mech ever built. And he would know, having designed a good portion of the machine's engineering. "Joint appears to be functioning within parameters," he replied.
"Well, it feels like it's got arthritis," she shot back. "Balance feels off."
"Hang on," Charlie said, pulling up a wider frame of the mech schematics.
"I think I see the problem. It's a lag in one of the relays in the lower back area, right where the pivot would translate to an unexpected transfer of force through the endoskeleton. That'd put more pressure on that side. Give me a minute and see if I can't adjust it from here."
"Copy that. Standing by," Rika replied, bringing the mech to a halt. The plan for the day was to have it run through a full course of exercises to work out any bugs in the system. Bugs like the one they had just found. While Charlie was proud of the device, he griped in private that making the massive machine in a human shape had put it at a huge disadvantage from the get-go. Walking on two legs simply wasn't the most efficient way to ambulate something that large. His boss, however, had other ideas. And when Brockton Milbury had an idea, oh boy, you had better watch out. He was a brilliant man. No one would argue against that. But he was also more than a little bit of a dreamer. And his exceptional wealth afforded him the ability to demand the unusual and often impulsive of his team. A 45-foot-tall mech was just that sort of whimsical creation. A crazy design, napkin sketched late one night, now made reality by a team of talented men and women, and a huge bankroll. When the difficulties and weaknesses of the design idea were pointed out, he had told his minions he had the utmost faith in them, then left them to get to it. The hastily drawn drawing that looked like something designed by a comic-loving kid, acting as their lone starting point. The design would go through many iterations, of course, losing the most impractical aspects, like folding in on itself to transform into a plane. It did actually wind up being designed to fold, but into a boxy and protective travel configuration, designed for ease of loading into transport craft. It had taken some time to construct, even with the enormous amount of money thrown at it. But at long last, a fully functional version was up and running. It may have lacked the racing stripe awesomeness of Brockton Milbury's original concept, but Charlie had made sure it had more than a few bells and whistles.
"Hey, while I'm running these systems mods from here, how about you give the surveying and digging apparatus a quick run through again?"
"On it," Rika replied, flipping a series of switches in the console. Most systems were touchscreen operated, but Charlie had thought it wise to equip the mech with mechanically activated switches as well, just in case. Everyone had such confidence in the rapidly growing power of computers these days, but he still possessed a healthy bit of skepticism, a what-if mentality that had served him well over the years. The gripping hands of the mech spun and locked out, the wrist joints pivoting and retracting the hands as digging tools slid into place one by one. It was a cool toy his boss had ordered created, but that didn't mean it couldn't also be a functional one. Drill heads and jackhammer bits cycled through, each powering on, running a test activation, then returning to their home nestled within the mech's arms.
"All good, Charlie," Rika reported, returning the hands to their original configuration. How's it going down there?
Still working on it.
Maybe you should swap out with me for a while. It might be faster from in here.
Rika, you know I'm a crap pilot, he said with a little chuckle.
Hey, I've seen you on the simulators. You're not that bad.
Simulators are far different from the real thing. It's the wobbling around as it walks that throws me off.
Doesn't feel right, you know, he said.
Hang on, I think this should do the trick.
Charlie punched a series of commands into the keyboard, adjusting the tolerances in the troublesome relay. The red lights on the screen turned green one by one.
Okay, that should be it. Give it a go.
The mech took a few lurching steps.
Yeah, that's much better. Thanks, Charlie.
You got it. Now let's finish the run-through and grab some lunch. I'm starving. He was on his third serving of chicken pot pie when Rika gave him the look.
What? I'm hungry, and I like pot pie.
You really don't stray from your comfort foods, do you?
I like what I like.
She rolled her eyes.
Oh, so adventurous.
Hey, you can go eat all that weird stuff. Me? I'll stick to the staples.
In abundance, apparently.
I said I was hungry. It was a busy morning.
Yeah, but you're eating like a power lifter, Charlie, and all you did today was push buttons and run diagnostics.
The brain burns calories too, he replied. And besides, I'm in pretty good shape. He patted his belly, which was not large by any means, for emphasis. He had always been athletic, and during his stint of military life all those years ago, he even had an actual six-pack. Now, however, with a sedentary job, a layer of softness had taken up residence on his frame.
I'm not saying you're fat, Charlie. Just you may want to slow it down a little, she said with a chuckle. Unless you want to join me for a few circuits on the O course.
He groaned at the thought. The obstacle course had been a part of his daily life when he first went through his military intake years prior. That was before reality set in, and he realized he'd never be a mission tech or ops engineer with the elite squads, running emergency missions around the globe. When he returned to the facility many years later, it had recently been bought by his billionaire employer. The government had been selling off underutilized facilities when they found themselves in need of money, and his boss had picked it up for a song. And so it was that Charlie wound up back at his repurposed old base, with the task of overseeing the design, engineering, and construction of Mr. Milbury's new toys. It was a sweet job, and what better place to do so than from the enormous facility, purchased as is, complete with its own obstacle course still intact. He couldn't help himself when he first arrived, and muscle memory kicked in when he gave the O course a nostalgic little run-through upon arriving at the facility he had thought he'd never see again. The next day, his entire body ached everywhere. That was unexpected, and he briefly thought about making the O course a part of his daily routine once more. But then work got heavy, and his plans shifted. He could always start again next week, he'd tell himself. And besides, he worked a desk job. There was no rush. Or so he thought.